Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Talkville, folks. We're here. We're excited. We had some delays today. You wouldn't know about that, but my internet didn't work. And thanks, guys, for doing this a couple hours later. I don't know what to do. My internet blew out, man, gone. And now I got it back. So hopefully it will stick around. So thanks. You know, I read something about a director was like, Tarantino goes, George Lucas, he said, when the picture starts rolling, nobody cares about, oh, the actress was late, or we had this problem, or we couldn't. No, they just want to see what's on the film. That's it. They don't give a shit. If it's bad, it's bad. You have to figure all that shit out. They don't care about your problems.
There's another famous quote from Coppola. Somebody was giving him shit about doing like 37 takes. And the short end is, he's like, well, it took 37 takes for the actor to know his lines. That's why we did 37 takes.
Oh my God. That's embarrassing.
But you're right. Nobody wants to hear the complaining. I mean, some of the behind the scenes stuff I hope is interesting to some people, but yeah, no one wants to know how hard it is. No one cares.
Yeah, no one cares. All right. Our handles are Talkville Podcast on all socials. Please follow us. And there's a bunch of great conversations that people have after episodes, and they talk about episodes, and it's a lot of fun. If you didn't get a chance to call our hotline, you can do so. 213-JET-CUTE. And leave messages for future episodes. And we urge you to do that and maybe not have the longest message. I think the longest one to record is like a minute. I wasn't happy.
Yeah, that's not a record you want to beat.
No, you don't want to beat that. You want to be like 20 seconds. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I know what 20 seconds is like. Oh, hang on. Hey, if you want to join Patreon and support the podcast, you're all we got. You really support the podcast. Patreon. patreon.com/talkville. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here, period. I've said enough of that. Talkvillepodcast.com if you want to get great merch. This artist who did the last pictures of me and Tom, she just did another one, so we're going to be putting those up soon. They're pretty dope. They're incredibly dope. And so I made only 50 prints off the original, and that's it. Once they're gone, and they sold out last time, so those should be on.
Yeah,
there.
So Talkville, you hear podcast. That Osama? You hear that, Osama?
Lots of stuff. Tom and I are going to be doing lots of cons. We're doing all sorts of cons. So go to my Linktree and Instagram. The Linktree has Cameo, and Tom's also on Cameo, and it has all the cons. And without further ado, let's get into it. Season 3, Episode 15, Resurrection.
Wait a second.
Al said, the t-shirt should say, the CW, beautiful people in bullshit situations, because I said that on a podcast. So he says it was hilarious. It was in the episode Shattered. Where I said that. So that could be a good t-shirt. So Bryce, maybe.
Well, I don't imagine the writer's room being like so fond of the moments that they have to go through in order to make the show work either, especially these next two episodes. I mean, this is like, you know, they're trying to figure it out too.
I know.
God bless them.
Believe me. Title Resurrection aired February 25th, 2004. Director, the late, wonderful, beautiful man, Terrence O'Hara. Writers, Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. Guest star, Francois Yip as Dr. Leah Tang. Camille Mitchell as Sheriff Nancy Adams. Jerry Wasserman as Dr. Yeager Scanlon. He's a unique looking dude, that doctor. James Kirk as Garrett Davis. Tama Pennicott. I know Tama. I just can't pronounce his name always. Is Vince Davis. Battlestar Galactica, by the way. Jesse Wasserman. Watchmen.
I wonder if we called him Captain Kirk on set or just Cap.
James T. Kirk. You know, I messed with him. Without a doubt, I was messing with him. He's like, great, this guy. Julian Christopher as Dr. McIntyre. And the synopsis, Clark uncovers a dark Luther Corp secret as he races to save the life of a classmate's brother, all the while protecting his father during a major surgery. You know, there were some touching moments here. We'll get into it, but
tough episode. It was a tough episode. And one of the reasons I say this is watching it, it's tough because, you know, we love John. But I will say that this is probably top three episodes that people have brought up to me at cons.
Why?
When they talk about the show. A lot of times, there's a lot of people that watch the show with their parents. And now we're, 22, 23 years later. And some people have lost their fathers since. And this is this ranks up there for the fans.
The episode opens with Jonathan getting his heart scanned by Dr. McIntyre. He recommends that Jonathan put his shirt back on and that get a triple bypass surgery. Clark is sitting in the waiting room, but hears the entire conversation with his super hearing.
I will say in this first scene, real quick, I like the way that Jonathan plays the stubbornness. And when the doctor just doesn't, the way the doctor plays it of just like not playing into Jonathan's like trying to make light of the situation. The doctor's like, I've known you for years. You can be a stubborn man. And Jonathan's like, got me.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, all right, farm boy. I'm a doctor. Listen, I went to med school. You listen to me.
You listen to me, flannel boy. I know things that you don't. Flannel you boy. Plow. I save lives. You know what I'm talking about? John Schneider, John Kent.
It's basically that.
Yes. Clark runs into his fellow classmate, Garrett Davis, someone that no one's ever seen again. Always these classmates no one's ever seen, who is there for his brother suffering from a failing liver. They talk about their respective situations, and Clark says he always thought of his dad as a man of steel. That was really sweet. What's kind of crazy is like, Clark's like, it's going to all work out. It's all going to be good. Beep, 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 beep. Your brother's dead. I mean, it happened like right after. I was like, gee, Louise, do not become a medium. Good Lord. Their conversation gets interrupted by a code blue in Garrett's brother's room. They rush in to find Vince receiving CPR from Dr. Scanlon unsuccessfully and dying.
I remember this actor who played Vince. I remember him being either a boxer or a kickboxer. Like we talked about that. And I remember being like, this guy's such a stud. Like, what is he doing here?
Like, really?
I just thought he was like so handsome and such a studly dude, like on set. I was like, this guy should be in movies. What's he doing here?
For you to
like
remember someone, that's you must have had a real attraction. Yeah. Back in the waiting room, Martha learns what happened to Garrett and how he will need to stay with foster care now. She tells Clark and Garrett can stay with them for a little while. Martha mentions that Jonathan isn't sure if he'll have the surgery, so Clark decides to confront his father, urging him to have the surgery because how important he is to him. Jonathan agrees to the surgery and tells his son, I'm not going anywhere.
I was glad that Clark did make a decision to use his heat vision to like cauterize some of Jonathan's heart. I was glad he didn't do that.
Yeah, could you imagine? I'm going to take this into my own hands or my own eyes. Jonathan agrees to the surgery. The Kents and Garrett head back home. Clark continues to be there for his classmate after the traumatic day he had. Their conversation is interrupted as Martha lets him know that the crematorium is calling to figure out where Vince's ashes should be spread. Jeez Louise. Garrett is confused because Vince should be getting buried next to his deceased parents. Something's going on in Smallville, folks. Something is going on. Outside the hospital, we see Vince's dead body being rushed into a helicopter and transported to Dr. Tang in Metropolis. The body gets carted into a full room of cage monkeys, and Tang administers a shot to Vince's chest, reviving him from the dead.
Yeah.
Now, this is all better now. Dr. Tang means more to me now because I watched the next episode we're going to do too. And there's some backstory to her that you don't know, that we don't know about in this episode. But since I know it, rewatching this episode with you, she's fighting for her own life and survival. And we'll learn that in the next episode. But she's not just a bad person trying to do bad things. She's trying to protect herself. And, you know, she's like Oppenheimer in a very grandiose way.
Well, her hand is kind of like, her hands are tied. If she doesn't do something, she'll probably get killed. You know, she cut herself in a bad situation here. Back in Smallville, Garrett and Clark go to figure out why Vince is being cremated. The doctors let them know that Vince, was transported to Metropolis for an organ donor. Garrett believes the documents have been forged. Now, over at Luther Mansion, Chloe walks into an intense opening line from Lex above North Korean deportation. Chloe tells Lex that Dr. Tang is only in the U.S. because of a green card marriage arrangement that Lionel puppeteered. Lex thanks Chloe for her involvement up to this point, but doesn't want her getting any deeper.
So two things in this scene. One, in the first 3 seconds as Chloe enters the door, you actually see a key light.
Like you do?
She walks right behind her. It's a three bulb light with cellophane over it. It's like she walks right past it when she talks to you. And then later, because they try to do a bunch of wonders in this, in the background, Chloe comes over and it's over Lex's shoulder into the window and you see somebody in the window. Somebody goes, you're in the shot, move. And they go, and they run.
Oh my gosh.
Because remember that back hallway was so narrow and people used to like.
You noticed that though? Did you not notice that, Ryan?
No.
Well, there was a huge shadow and I watched it like three times. You could tell the person was like, what? Me? Go that way. Okay.
Oh boy. Guys, yeah. It's the old Game of Thrones coffee cup.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It happens to everybody.
Yeah, it happens. Back at the Kents, Clark and Garrett calm down after their altercation with the doctor. Garrett continues to question what could have happened, and they get interrupted by a dead man walking as Vince greets them inside the barn. He says he has no idea what happened, and all he remembers is waking up in a lab in Metropolis. Vince starts to show the same effects of Adam in a previous episode with bleeding eyes. He then starts to turn yellow from liver failure and collapses. So, within 13 minutes, we meet Garrett, see his brother die, find out his brother came back to life, then see him start to die again. Why did they let him escape? How?
Oh, good question. I do like the way he played the eye bleeding, and I did believe that these two were brothers. I thought they did a good job of making the audience believe they were family.
Yeah, I think this episode had some really nice moments, but to me, the train just kind of went off the tracks a little bit and just got a little sloppy and just, you know, again, one of those things where, okay, I get it. We're dealing with the same shit that's going on with Adam and his eyes bleeding and they're, he's under Lionel Luther's grasp. So I see a lot of that stuff and that's kind of cool, I guess, but it just, I don't know if I cared.
But you know, right after this scene, they take his brother back to the hospital.
They do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they take him right back to the hospital and that no one talks about, oh, he was just here, but he died. Wait, okay.
Jeez Louise. They rush Vince back to Smallville Medical. Dr. Scanlon's confused on how Vince is still alive because his liver is rapidly deteriorating. What's more, he has no idea what the lab gave him or even the lab exists, Ryan.
Crazy.
Clark now leaves the hospital room, goes to another room with Jonathan inside prepping for his surgery. Instead of staying with his father for the surgery that Clark insisted he have, he decides to take a trip to Metropolis in search of a hidden lab to help a friend we've never seen before. Martha agrees that this is the right decision. I guess if you're just trying to side with Clark, it's like he's trying to save somebody and trying to figure stuff out and his dad's dying. I don't know.
Okay.
Clark heads to the parking lot. He runs into Lana because we need a scene with Lana, who's stopping by to visit his parents. Clark talks about the experience with Vince, and Lana shares the same bloody eye and injection stories that Adam was exhibiting. Huh. Now, back inside the hospital, we're forced to watch Bull Cut Garrett talking to his corpse of a brother, sharing a heartfelt moment. The doctor interrupts them to let Garrett know he's SOL because there's nothing they can do. Clark insists Chloe help to find the lab in Metropolis. He insists that he wants to do this because it takes his mind off the fact that he can't help his father. Chloe uses her contacts to figure out that the medevac chopper boys could have information into the lab's location. Clark meets with the pilot and threatens him into taking him to the lab. Tom, this was actually, was it you coming out of the helicopter this time to get that shot? Did they literally just have to get you in, then hover above the ground, and then get you out? What was that?
I don't recall, but I'm looking at it right now. The helicopter is already on the ground. Time, money, safety. I bet the helicopter was sitting there. I got in the door, closed it, opened it up, and got out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way they're just going to give me a ride. Like, in a perfect way, I'd be like, hey, can you guys pick me up at the top of the hotel for work this morning? And we just start with that one shot? No, I doubt they did that.
No. They arrive at a rundown building, and Clark uses his super hearing to discover that Lex is also there. This was kind of cool. Confronting Dr. Tang about her deportation and acting as a rogue ICE agent, Lex pushes Dr. Tang for information into the vial, or else he'll have her shipped back to Pyongyang.
You did a very specific pronunciation of that. Was there someone on set telling you how to say it?
I'll ship you back to Pyongyang. Somebody told it to me right before. I go, how do you pronounce that? Okay, here we go.
It felt deliberate.
Was that good?
I don't know. It stuck out to me.
It stuck out like I knew what I was doing. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about this all the time. The stigma is going away. It's important for us all to talk about our feelings, about our life with someone we can talk to, someone who's objective, who's a professional. So many people have done this. I've been doing this for a long time. It helps. Ryan here, well, you can't see him, but he uses BetterHelp. So many of my friends do, and it's just it works for so many people. And we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and at times we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. I know a lot of people think that. It's not for just those people. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Talkville.
Talkville is brought to you by our good friends at AG1. Yes, AG1. How many times do we have to tell you how amazing AG1 is and that we use it all the time? For us, it's the energy, it's the focus, it's life-changing. It really is. You know, we've been doing this for the last few years, drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day, and it helps make me feel really, really good. I notice a substantial difference. And instead of taking tons of pills every day, this stuff's loaded with vitamins. This is, you know, prebiotics, probiotics, all of it is right here in one glass that you just mix with some water and done. That's it. Start a healthy routine now with AG1. Tommy?
I mean, I love it. It tastes good. It feels good. It makes everything else feel good. As it works with your system, it's easy to say it's a good win.
Yes, I know. Look, we're getting essential brain support, gut and immune health, vitamins, probiotics, nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of every day. We take it in the morning. We take it when we travel. There's travel packs. It's all there for you. And change your routine, guys. Get it going with AG1. If there's a product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it is AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville. That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out. All right, before they can continue, Clark super speeds into the room, steals the vial. That was kind of weird, wasn't it? I mean, that was like, they didn't even show it. Well, he just took that vial and there was a little breeze. What'd you do with it? Lex is like, what? What do you mean, what did I do with it?
Well, usually, cool. You know, when you're at the high school dance and Clark does that, cool. There's a little bit of wind that hits Chloe's hair.
Yeah.
I didn't see Lex's hair move at all.
How dare you? How dare you? That night back at Smallville Medical, Martha's visibly concerned as her husband's surgery begins. Luckily, her son's friends are there for her as Pete and Lana show up. Down the hall, Garrett barges in and pulls a John Q as he exposes a bomb on his chest. I mean, come on. He went over the top. He wants his brother alive. His brother already died once, so it's like, big deal. You already saw him die once.
Yeah, well, it was
terrible.
Like, he didn't, it's not like he really feel like people weren't doing enough for his brother that he had to pull this stunt?
Get my brother a new liver, I'll blow this place to kingdoms come. Kingdom come. Putting everyone in the hospital at risk, including the family that just opened the doors to him. Clark arrives back at the hospital to find SWAT on the scene, setting a perimeter. Clark then pleads with the sheriff to let him through and waves around the vial, claiming that this will cure Vince. Inside the hospital, we get some much-needed explanation from Pete as he tells Martha that the bomb on Garrett's chest is laced with meteor rock because his family uses it for their demolition business. Everything's gonna
really?
Damn
Krypton. I figured that out because it was green.
Yeah, that would clarify. Brian?
That makes sense to me. Because when he put the bomb on his chest, when suddenly he was a bomb, I was like, where the hell did this come from? But I guess they did drop a little hint about the demolition business, and I had totally missed that.
Yeah. It just seems like, oh my gosh, what is he doing?
It was a lot, but I guess that was their tie-in, and they just dropped it real nonchalantly.
Yeah. I just thought kind of
I could just picture Terrence being like, what the hell?
Yeah, because sometimes directors get good episodes and they're like, and then when they get those, they're like, I remember just saying something to Terrence before and going, this is ridiculous. He goes, you're telling me? You think I have a choice in the matter? Let's just make it the best we can, you know? Clark plays hostage negotiator and talks with Garrett about having the vial. The sheriff agrees to allow Clark to go in as long as the hostages are released. I thought that was kind of funny. It was just like, no, please, I know him. He'll listen to me. All right. You've been involved in everything in this damn town. I mean, every time I turn my head, Mr. Kent, you're there. And now you want to be involved in this? He's got an explosive on his chest. I'm going to let a 16-year-old in there try to talk to him. I can't invite the FB and the I over to somehow figure this out, this mess. I got to rely on a 16-year-old farm boy. Clark walks in and leaves the vial for Garrett to pick up. As he holds it, the liquid starts having a strange reaction, likely because of its proximity to the kryptonite. Whoa. Is the vial some sort of concoction from Clark's blood that was taken in an earlier season?
Whoa.
The vial gets injected in Vince, but his vitals don't change at all. Garrett gets frantic and tells the doctors they need a liver now. He tells Scanlon to take the liver from Jonathan, who was just sitting comatose in the operating room. Garrett justifies this to Clark by saying, you'll still have a mom. I mean, he was getting pretty, this kid's losing it. He's losing it quickly. I mean, you know, it's a lot. We're making this kid, he's losing his brother. We're turning him into a villain is what we're doing. Are we not, folks?
I mean, yeah.
As they walk into the hallway, a SWAT sniper takes a shot at Garrett, hitting him in the chest, but also causing him to click the detonator for the bomb. We get a sweet slow motion scene as Clark grabs a lead blanket, retrieves the bomb, takes it outside, all before it explodes inside the hospital. I thought that was kind of cool. I was a little bit like, where are we right now when we were outside the hospital? Like, are we back on the farm? Where? Oh, we're just right out in the back?
Yeah.
But
so small town. When I was watching this episode, my wife comes in and she's watching and she always gets a kick out of seeing me so young. And Clark runs in and grabs out the blanket and puts it on the bomb. I go, that's a lead blanket. And she goes, yeah, I know. He just came from the X-ray. Duh. I was like, oh, okay.
I didn't know it. The next day in Metropolis, Dr. Tank takes Lex to see Adam Knight. They find him in a cell shaking. It's obviously not him. It's a double because they didn't get him for that episode to just shake. You would have seen his face. That's the clue. You would have seen Adam's face. If they're paying for him to be a guest star, you'd see Adam's face, but you don't see his face, you see. And the other guy's body wasn't as sweet, so I knew it wasn't Adam. Later that night, Lex visits the town and finds Lana trying to clean up the loft and erase the fact that Adam was ever there. It was really weird because she was like, she had this look on her face in the beginning of that scene, wiping the glass, and she just looked so upset or angry.
Irritated,
like, I can't get this out. Out. It was just kind of weird, wasn't it?
Lady Macbeth in it over there.
Yeah. Out damn spot. Lex gets creepily close to her, dry her eyes, and says he's there if she ever wants to talk about it. Hey, baby.
You had a line here I had to listen to twice. It was he came to see me so I could help him get out of your life. And I'm here to make sure he stays that way. And I was like, is that correct English? I had to watch it three times. And it does add up, but it's not easy. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah. A lot of times it's hard to say lines like that that are hard to just, that normal people don't speak. So you're like, you say things and you're like, what's the line? Because it just doesn't flow effortlessly off the tongue. Over at Smallville Medical, we see Jonathan being wheelchaired out of his surgery. In standard Jonathan fashion, he's disobeying the doctor's orders and ready to get back on the farm. But before they leave, Clark talks to his parents about overhearing Lex with Dr. Tang and the content of the vial. Later, Clark heads over to the town. Lana apologizes for not sharing what was going on with Adam. Clark says that she can talk to him about anything. Well, and she says ditto. Well, then immediately plays dumb to what was in the vial. So that's sort of what happens. Another episode this season mirroring a blockbuster, Fast and Furious, Final Destination, John Q. One of the coolest slow motions so far that we've seen. You know, Tom, you got to work, like you said, with James and Tama, who played Vince, and you were enamored by his body.
I just thought he was a cool dude. Like, I just, you know, you get these people who come in and they don't have a lot of screen time, but when you're working with them, you see how much they're doing, and it's inspiring. You're like, oh, let me, I got to raise my bar a little bit.
Again, it's so hard to be a guest star. We've talked about it ad nauseum, but like coming in and delivering lines and, you know, doing what you do is just, I commend anybody who just steps in. It's fun. It's frightening. Interesting things of note.
Interesting things.
The season three DVD contains a deleted scene in which Martha Kent attempts to stay behind when Garrett trades the hostages for his brother's medicine. This is the first episode to feature Clark time with the fluid-looking aura that Clark leaves behind himself while moving.
One more time?
No.
It's one way to. That's one way to describe
Clark
it.
Time with the fluid-looking aura, like.
Oh yeah. I know. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the writer's room must have been so happy when Clark got super hearing, because this is like 8 episodes in a row where Clark just hears things. It's like the best way to like solve any gap in the plot. Oh, well, Clark can hear it. Okay.
I didn't like this episode. I think there were some nice touching moments with about death maybe, and about family and Jonathan and Clark and Martha. Those were nice, but they were sort of fleeting. There weren't many of those moments to sort of give me a keep my focus.
I feel like the bomb was a big distraction.
It was.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And the bomb, well, we'll get to the Rosenbaum rating. Now it's time for the hotline. All right. This is the hotline. These are the first, we're going to start out with patron privilege. Make sure you call in 213-JET-CUTE. This is Michael P. Michael P. always has something to say, and we love hearing what he has to say. I hope this is a good one, Michael. The pressure's on you, buddy. It's on you, man.
Hey, everyone. It's Michael Piccioni from Texas. In the episode Resurrection, the character Garrett walked around for most of the episode in a Demolition logo jacket, and at one point even talked about his short fuse. Given all that he did, especially at the end of the episode, was this just ridiculously clever foreshadowing by the writers or what? I don't know if you guys caught it, but I want to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
I didn't catch it, but now that he said that, I think it's kind of cool.
I never would have gotten that. That was the first time I've seen that episode in my life, and everything just kind of blurred together. Just kind of, I didn't know. Like, I was trying to get involved.
Oh, wait till you get to the next episode.
Oh man.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Ah. Definitely some disgust.
Rose.
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You know, again, we talk about this. There's good ones around the corner, but sometimes there's ones that aren't that good. All right, here's Alex. Let's hear what Alex had to say. You know what it is? It's most of the time, I watch it and I can remember things that I really liked or this storyline. It was compelling. In this one, I watched it and I don't even remember it. And I just watched it. I remember the bomb. I remember Jonathan. I remember these things we're talking about now that we're talking about them. But like, I was like, what is this? What happens in this episode? Who died? Anyway, here's Alex. What do you got to say for yourself, Alex? I bet this is a good question. I could feel it.
Hey guys, it's Alex Baldwin calling from Hot Springs, Arkansas. There was a Alex super Baldwin? Creepy moment where Lex is in the apartment of the Talon with Lana, and she's cleaning things up, and he takes a rag and holds her face and starts wiping her face.
He's
a junior in high school, and he's, you know, obviously quite older. Do you think they were setting up already his love interest in her, or was Lex just being creepy? Because I think in the next episode he sits right next to her in front of a fire and places a hand on her back and starts talking lovingly to her. So, all right,
thank you, Alex. Or maybe just trying to wipe shit off her face. I didn't think it was creepy.
It was creepy.
What did I do?
It was so slow and just deliberate and just. And like she also, maybe it's also the way she reacted too. She like sort of like turned her head and closed her eyes a little bit.
But she was also sensitive because all these things just happened. Where he's like, it's okay. I know you're worried about Adam and you're emotional. And
she is a minor.
But Lex didn't do anything. He didn't have Lexual healing. All right, here comes Kevin.
It was a purple rag too.
Purple rag.
Hi, my name's Tevin. I'm from Arizona. And I just wanted to ask about the episode Resurrection and, how was it to do that slow-mo scene where you have to take off the bomb off of the bad guy? Just wanted to know. Thank you, guys. Big fan of the show. Hope you guys have a good one.
Kevin, you rock, buddy. Tom?
I mean, that's a good question. And not to bore you with too much detail, but when you get into the Clark time stuff, I've said before we had to learn how to do it. And part of it for me was you have to understand that what you're doing seems so ridiculous in reality, but it's going to have this effect afterward. And so you have to really commit to that and trust the DP and the director who are watching it. In the next episode, there's a part where Clark's asks a question, and then instead of backing up to make an easy exit, which I should have done as an actor, I ask a question and then I back up 4 steps, turn, and then run out. And it's the most awkward thing. And it still bugs me. But you have to just kind of remind yourself that this is going to have a sound effect. It's going to have a visual to it. And you just have to like,
or you'll drive yourself
try to run
crazy.
As fast. Well, and you also have to understand it's slow motion. So you have to take your time because you know it's going to be slowed down. Because if you just run normal and then they slow it down, it looks weird. So there's a couple different things you have to keep in mind in order to try to sell the super speed of it all. And it was all a learning curve.
Ah, that was some good information, man.
Yeah.
This is Jason. Jason, what do you got for us, buddy?
And you don't blink. You don't want to blink during slow-mo.
Hey, it's Jason from Pittsburgh. This question is from Michael. Season 3, episode 15, Resurrection. I love the short scene that you had with Chloe. Here's my question. Does Lex like Chloe, in your opinion? Does Lex like Chloe? Does he respect her? That's my question. Love the show. Love you guys.
No. No. I
think she's she's a pawn.
You know what Lex thinks about her? He doesn't. I feel like Lex just doesn't think about Chloe. He doesn't think about anything except the situation at hand. The sort of, you know, Clark, his relationship with Clark, business, life. Chloe is just something that she's not on the radar, but sometimes she gets in his way and he knows that she doesn't like him. And I think many times Lex tries to, he wants people to like him, like everyone wants people to like them. And so I think he tries to do the right thing, but at a certain point he's just like, I'm not trying anymore. I'm doing what I do.
I mean, you never see Chloe and Lex meeting at the Talon to have a cappuccino together just to catch up.
No.
I think they both use each other as tools to another means.
Yep. All right. This is Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
Hey, guys. It's
Leanne P., your patron. Okay, so in this episode, the helicopter pilot is also in the X-Files, and this tends to be one of many visual and auditory throwbacks, or not throwbacks, but cues to the TV show The X-Files. So I'm wondering, did someone on the cast, on the crew, someone in Smallville land, did they somehow have some sort of connection to the TV show The X-Files? Thanks, guys. Bye.
I think some people did work for The X-Files.
Well, the it's a Vancouver actor scene. So,
yeah,
we, you know,
had probably some of the same people. And I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a good question. I don't know. I don't notice that stuff, though.
I'm going to look up the casting director to see if that was the same.
Well, we had the cigarette smoking man a couple episodes ago from The X-Files. But I think those are all Vancouver actors that when a show, you know, like who is our principal Kwan that we like so much? He's on X-Files. You know, it's like it's a rotation if you're an actor repetition. There.
What were you going to say, Ryan?
Oh, I was just looking at the casting department. And I mean, there's an LA caster and there's a couple of Vancouver casters who probably worked on every episode. And there's probably a lot of crossover if they're working on X-Files as well.
Hmm.
Or if they're probably all on Arrow and Flash and Clark and Lois.
International folks. These are texts from international folks. Tamara from New Zealand. When Garrett let the hostages go, you reckon they missed a beat with Clark and Lana, like... him asking if she's okay or something caring. Did they miss a moment? I don't know. I think everybody knows that Clark and Lana care about each other, so maybe you didn't need to see it. Tom, you agree?
I didn't miss it.
Patar, this season has had a lot of guest stars so far. Who's been your favorite that has stuck out?
The guy who wasn't Rutger Howard.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
Yeah.
And he talked like this. Listen to me, Lex. You don't know what you're getting into. Lex, kind of like a graspier Liam Neeson or something, because he had a little bit of an Irish accent because he's Irish, and he talked like that. Bria from France. I had completely forgotten that Adam was the reason the Talon apartment was introduced into the show, which became one of the most prominent sets of the series. So far, is there any plot that you'd rediscovered watching the show that really surprised you?
Yeah, I forgot about the whole blood serum Clark thing. I totally forgot about the whole thing.
Yeah, I forgot about this whole thing with Adam and all this stuff. It didn't ring a bell at all. I didn't remember any of it. Okay, Rosenbaum rating system. We're going to go right to Ryan to start out with this one. Ryan, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Did you like this episode?
No.
Okay. Good. So we're probably at a heater or below.
Bomb.
One bomb for Ryan Taez.
I'm going to go with the old John Heater.
I'm going to go with the bomb. I'm going to go with the bomb. How many people got saved?
Death.
How many died? Count. Three dead. Vince dies.
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? Vince dies. Garrett gets shot. Vince re-dies. One saved.
That still counts as one.
Jonathan got saved, didn't he?
Well, he wasn't necessarily dying. I mean, he was having an operation.
What happened to Garrett? Right. Did they cover that?
No, didn't Garrett die?
He got shot in the chest.
Yeah, he gets shot. He died. It says Garrett got shot. We just don't talk about it in the episode. It was just left.
That's
like,
fine. Like we didn't talk about it.
Oh, poor guy. Lost
seasons.
His brother twice and then tried to blow up the whole hospital. And what would be on his gravestone?
Yeah. Kids, it's not the answer. Don't follow in his footsteps.
Maybe on his gravestone we'll say life's a bomb.
No. Oh.
I don't know. One saved, the entire hospital saved by Clark. Through 15 episodes in season 3, 18 dead, 24 saved. Series 77 dead, 84 saved. And now it's time for Ryan's favorite scene. Ryan's
favorite good luck.
I saw a couple of good ads in the middle on the Hulu. What I was watching.
You know, hey, should we just try, without him telling us, should we just both guess one?
All right, you guess one.
Yeah.
If you get it,
all right.
If we both get it, we get 2 points for just getting it without him reading them out.
All right. All right. I'm going to go the bomb save with the lead.
Me too. I was going to go the bomb save.
That's the only scene in this
Ryan's like, that's the only scene that's good. All right. So we both get 2 points.
Yeah.
Both get 2 points. I agree. It was the only scene that was even close to being good.
I liked watching the end credits because then I was done with the episode.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to give it a bomb and a half. I'm going to go a bomb and a half on this one.
Oh, my gosh.
Just, you know, it was like Boar State University.
I mean, the thing is,
it was just,
I mean, we talk a lot about them bringing in like one character just for an episode. That's like, oh, he's been here the whole time, like that kind of thing. But I think I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because I think that was Clark's friend that he made in the waiting room, like during all these operations. That might have been why they were so close.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's so funny that we were able to pick the only scene. I've never even had that idea before.
Good Lord. Well, you know.
Sorry for joining us, folks, for this episode.
The banter's entertaining, I hope.
Yeah,
we learn things.
Yeah, we do. I mean, sometimes we just got to bite the bullet and just be honest with ourselves. You can't like, you can't be forced to like something, you know. Next week, we're going to be, you know. We're going to get into a big episode. It's called Crisis. It's season 3, episode 16. We're nearing the end. So if you're excited like we are, keep watching these episodes. Keep listening because a lot of good stuff is coming your way. I don't even remember what happens, but I have a feeling in the last five or six episodes, there'll be some good ones. You know that's going to happen. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod. Show your support by support. Join and give us your support for patreon.com/talkville. We really appreciate it. It helps the podcast more than you know, as you know. And you can go on my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum on the link tree with all the links to Cameo. Go see Tom on Cameo. Come see us at the cons. I appreciate it. And we love you. Tom, thanks for being here, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Ryan.
Thanks, everybody.
Remember, folks, always hold on to Smallville.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And we can't forget about our lovable patrons. Without you, we couldn't do this podcast, period. I said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more times. We can't do the podcast without you. Patreon.com/talkville. Here are the shout-outs. Tom's burping. And here we go. Tom, take us off.
Yeah, that was my mom's chili. It's amazing. Wish you guys could try it. Nikki G, Lee N P, Raj C, Santiago M, Little Lisa, Thomas Elite Blower, thank you for your questions. Sophie M, Betsy D, Ray H, Karen Apple M, Danielle B, 99 more, Leilani, and Brett G, always hold on to Smallville, S7 G, DJ Kento in the house, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Tom N, Jason W, Osama A, Lana, rhymes with banana, W, yes, I said it like that again, Nancy D, Brian G, Sarah W, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, Jordan M, Hillary B, Randy B, Craig G, and Christy R.
Karen P, Jor-El, Heather and Craig, Nico P, I made Smallville say butts, Brian H, Eric K, brought to you by AG1, Kristen B, Craig C, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, brought to you by BetterHelp, Finky, Tamara H, Stephen F, damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid, General Zod, Big D, Doug R, Carlos C, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Kendall Limerick's guy, Corey L, Mr. Home Arcade, Amanda K, Jesse C, Claire M, D Brown, Karen Era M, Eldon Supremo, Leslie V, McBurts, Ginger Moose, Christoph S, Michelle M, Drew, Brittany S, Marisol P, Michael Kane doesn't blank, Sebastian F, Sourpuss Cranky Pants, Matthew and Lincoln B, Carol B.
The Coopers,
Coopers,
always loved meeting you guys. Marion Louise L. C. Glow?
Geo.
C. Glow.
C. Geo.
Is it Geo?
C. Geo.
It looks like an elf. It looks like an L from here.
You're blind.
Cindy C, Nikki L, Bish, Bash, Bosh's, Lemon, Pledge, good for you. Shannon, Rams with Faux Shannon, M, Brian S, Tina E, Matt R, Anthony R, Jen T.
Wait.
Gentle.
You said Matt R, Anthony R?
Matt R, Anthony R, Jen T.
Oh.
Jess T.
Oh.
Cassie B, Felicia R, Danny M, DS underscore the underscore RN. I know Michael says it differently. JS, Rachel D, Gingerous Prime, and Nate D. When you're rich, you're not crazy. You're eccentric. Paul W, Jonas 1, love the Jonas Brothers. Samantha S, Starkville's House of L podcast. Okay, guess they have their own podcast. Sage C, Spicy Brown says, Carrie A, The Alexander Castle, Kyle F.
We love you. Thank you for the support, and we'll see you next time.